Traveling the world, searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Hey, racing fans, Steve Wolf here, your host of Flying Turns and whatever else we're going to get into talking today. And of course, I need to introduce the founder of the International Equine Network, our own Scott Miller. Hey, Scott. I heard you're a little laid up.
Yeah. Broke a rib this morning, so it's a little touchy, but it didn't get to my mouth. I can still talk and irritate people.
Oh, I thought you were going to say I can still eat.
Oh, that would be more important
to me.
I can always do that.
Well, we got a great show today. We've got two special guests coming on later. We're going to talk some especially about the road to the Triple Crown and what's happening there. But first, we're going to do a little segment for Flying Turns. And, of course, everyone's well aware how everything is almost stopped from the Corona-19 virus. And we don't know when in most states, especially the Eastern Seaboard and New York and New Jersey and such, will be able to get up and racing again. There is one harness racing track in North America that is currently racing, and that's Cal Expo in Sacramento, California. They have no fans racing. No fans are allowed to come in. The public is closed off. They're just racing out of the paddock. They actually only let three races go in the paddock at a time, so it's not entirely filled. And that way, I think there's maybe 30 people at all involved with what's going on. But they're going to have racing on Friday and Saturday. Their first race post time is 6:10 p.m., which on the East Coast is 9:10, 3-hour time difference. And I'm sure their betting pools and stuff are going to be pretty big. I hope they have some great fields going. But other than Cal Expo, every other track in North America has stopped harness racing because of the virus.
Yeah, well, Steve, how can they watch it at Cal Expo if they want to watch the racing?
Their website, I believe, calexpoharness.com. They can go, of course, to Twin Spires or the TVG and one of the North America wagering sites. And actually, you don't even have to make a wager. You just have to set up the account. If you want to put 100 or so in it, that's fine. But it, at least I know on Twin Spires, there's also IdaBet. They're going to let you watch the races free on the computer.
Oh, there you go. See, that's what it's all about. And that's what we do here at IENTV.org.
We
connect them.
We
to
try and find positive things to to keep the bettors and fans happy.
Right. Well, Steve, how are the harness people adjusting to it? I know, like here at Sunshine Meadows, we probably have about 375 horses that usually are headed north this time of year. And now they're going to be with us for a while, and they don't even know when they're going to be able to get back up north.
No. And the most vocal person at Sunshine Meadows has been Casey Coleman, and she's kept the world abreast of what's going on because she's actually doing the smart thing, because if she sends one of her grooms or any one of their people back up to Canada, where her main training facility is for the summer and spring and summer, they have to be quarantined for 14 days. So what she's doing is she's hiring people up in Canada that will be ready and can replace these people until their quarantine is up. And she's already started sending people that way. She doesn't know what's going to happen with the horses. She knows she's going to stay at Sunshine Meadows at least through April. And that hopefully by the end of April, she'll have her people in place up north, and we'll be able to send her horses up there. And boy, she's got some, top 2-year-olds, top 3-year-olds, even some older horses. I mean, there may not be a McWicket in her crowd, but And I think that's what the other horse people are doing. There's nothing much else they can do but take care of the horses and exercise them.
Right. Well, having said that, Steve, what do you think the timeline is for live racing, going back to live racing at the tracks?
I really cannot. Of course, I can speculate. I can say the great words in my opinion, but I'm not a doctor. I'm not aware of everything else going on. And now they talk about when the numbers start decreasing, they're going to drop right down, and then all of a sudden it's going to kick up again because the virus will just mutate and come back in a different form, and we'll always have to be, you know, quite wary of it. But I'm hopeful by the end of April that the Midwest tracks will open again. Northfield Park, maybe Canada. I know the East Coast, Yonkers, Pocono, Monticello, Freehold, Meadowlands, Dover, or the Harrington's meet now. That's been postponed. I mean, there's a lot of tracks there that they may have to go until June. I mean, if the virus starts to tail off, I mean, I would think by May, some tracks will come back, and by June, everyone will start racing, and people will be switching up tracks, will be switching up their stakes schedule. They're going to have to rewrite it and do it over again, try and make it into a tight cluster that, you know, people are going to be okay with. It's ironic you ask about that, Scott, because there actually is a situation, and it has to do with stake payments. And at this time, Woodbine Mohawk up in Ontario, and they govern a few tracks up there, is suspending the April 15th stake payments for all their events until further notice. Yet the Hamiltonian Society, who says after careful and extensive consideration, they're in conjunction with the Meadowlands, the Red Mile, Little Brown Jug Society, and all their other industry clients, partners, and stakeholders, which includes the Grand Circuit, they decided that the April 15th payment deadline will remain intact. Everyone's got to make that payment. And there's other events, too. The $200,000 prix de tay in Quebec has the second payment. You know, 30 horses entered, nominated for the first round, and now they each have to put up $1,000 to remain in there. We have not heard yet what they're going to do, and that's going to be the situation with a lot of tracks out there, because when people want to pick a makeup date for a big stake race and it goes against another one, which in a normal course would have been held earlier in the year, there's going to be some major conflicts. There'll be cancellations. There could be a whole litany of stuff happen that we've never seen before.
Right. Well, you know, having said that, you know, that's just one part of it. You know, when you think about it, they've got to get all the schedules realigned. They have a lot of things to do, and it's got to be difficult for the trainers not having a focus date, you know, to point and train a horse for. And it's awful hard to keep a horse in top condition, you know, to get them ready for that race. It's usually a period of months, you know, to prepare them for the Hamiltonian or the Little Brown Jug. So it's got to be a nightmare for the trainer.
For the older horses, the one of the biggest series of the year, the MGM Bergada pace and the blue chip matchmaker for the fillies and mares, I mean, for the older horses, that was 5 weeks at $50,000 a week, and then a final that's going to go for probably $400,000, maybe $500,000. I mean, that's huge, huge money. That whether it'll be able to reschedule or not, but when they reschedule it, if it goes against other stake races, now you get the conflicts coming in because of a tight schedule, and that's what I'm worried about. Actually, the thing we all should be worried about is the horsemen and the owners. Owners are paying the bills to keep their horses in training, or they're turning them out for a while and figured, you know, won't bring them back until the racing situation's taken care of. So that's a tough situation. But you got to give some credit out there. Tracks like Woodbine in Canada, They've had meetings already and stuff to see what they can do to help the horsemen. The horsemen in New Jersey, the Standard Bred Breeders and Owners Association, they're actually providing every other week boxes of groceries and stuff to help. Anyone that's short on feed or hay, people are saying, you know, to contact them and they'll help them out during these hard times, which is great. Pompano, you know, they got, I believe, a mistaken eviction notice last week, you know, that they had to get out in 2 weeks. And then Eldorado Casinos that owns Pompano Park, a couple days later, said, forget all that. We're going to do everything we can to help you guys. In fact, if they have a track to go to, the Pompano Park people will even help with the shipping costs.
Yeah. Now, you were saying something earlier about qualifiers and a client of yours that's having qualifiers here to keep everybody, you know, up to date and offer installs.
Yeah, down the road. Yeah, down the road from Sunshine Meadows is the Olympia of Palm Beach Training Center. It's formerly known as the South Florida Trotting Center. And they're sort of in the same predicament as you guys are at Sunshine Meadows. Can't really go any place, or there's nothing really going on. So Sam Stathis, the owner, said that he got approved by the USTA, and they're going to hold qualifying races next Wednesday at 11 a.m. Of course, the public is not invited to attend, but Sam is arranging to have live drone feed of the races, which I don't know if we've ever seen it from that angle before, but it's going to be pretty interesting as the drone will cover the horses. There's only three horses in each qualifier allowed, but it'll be interesting to watch that view, and these horses will get exercised. Whether or not they're training for Cal Expo, that I don't know where they're going to race, but we'll see how many want to qualify. I think the entry box closes around noon on Monday.
Yeah. Now, what about Spring Garden Ranch? Have you heard anything about them at the north end of the state?
No, I haven't heard about any other training facilities doing nothing but keeping the track going. You know, people have to realize it costs a lot of money to maintain all the vehicles, the materials to put down on the track, to water the track, to do all this, to keep it in decent shape, yet there's no racing going on. But you can't ignore the track, because then when you really need it, you're not going to be able to bring it back so fast.
Right. Because, you know, I was going to call a friend of mine up in Hawkinsville, Georgia, at their training facility, you know, and just see, you know, what's going on with them, because I know we've had some horses here leave to go back up north. And I think a few have gone to Indiana, and Indiana is on lockdown. And, you know, that's not a good situation to be in. Like at Churchill Downs.
Oh, no. Indiana, New York, New Jersey, Ohio. Everything is locked down. Everything is closed. And
well,
that
like
means even the casinos.
Yeah. At Churchill Downs, they went ahead and they closed the backside there and quite a few other places. And then, of course, you know, at Gulfstream, they closed the casino, you know, there. But, here I'm watching Gulfstream live today. And in the first race, they bet $1,456,000 just on OTB. That's the first race, Steve.
I know. Remember, last week it was almost $1 million, and we knew they were going to have a big day on the first race. Now it's 1.4. That's $500,000, $500,000 more on the first race.
Yeah.
I mean, people are looking for action. I mean, I wish I had, you know, eight box turtles that were the same size or those red-eared sliders. I'd paint me a number in each one and then draw a big circle and put them all in there. And we could go on ebet.com or something, esports.
Right.
And we could have betting on that, and the pools would be tremendous.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing about this whole virus is it seems like a lot, well, just about all the equestrian people that I know have taken precautions and, you know, they're doing the right things. But the biggest problem, other than the virus itself, is the fact that they don't know how long this is going to go on for. And it's hard to prepare for something that's you don't know when it's going to end.
Absolutely. I mean, people have, I know the Florida chapter of the Harness Riders is going to have to more than likely cancel their awards dinner for 2019. It was supposed to be on Friday the 27th of March. And because once things start to clear up, everybody's going to leave, including a lot of the award winners, to race up north. So, as you said, that's going to mean the cancellation of a lot of other stuff going on.
Well, you know, the Olympic Committee...
And tracks...
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you're right. The Olympics.
The Olympic Committee, I think, did one of the best things that they could do for not only the horsemen, but, you know, everybody in general, is they moved the Olympics to 2021. You know, so
right.
That gives them
a
year
plus. I think that was
a
great move.
Right, right.
Yep.
But, you know, the big thing is, Stephen, about, well, like with the harness racing and, you know, Gulfstream and all, and Thoroughbreds and all the shows, one of the other factors that we failed to mention is the fact of the TV contracts. You know, a lot of these events depend on, you know, the television revenue. And all of a sudden, you know, you're talking
right.
about billions of dollars that have stopped. And they don't know when they're going to be able to reschedule.
Exactly. That's why, I mean, there's going to be a time when things get better and everyone can start opening up. But in just as in harness racing, thoroughbred racing, the equestrian events that are supposedly going on and would have been going on in Wellington and the International Polo Club has
right.
the championships. I think that's the first or second week in April.
Right. The America's Cup. Yes. Yes. You know,
yeah, that's huge. I mean, it's like the biggest, one of the biggest
right.
polo events in the world, and it's on the shelf.
Right. Well, you know, there's one good thing about, at IEM, we're here, we can be here 24/7 every Thursday for sure. With broken ribs and the virus, we can still
well, there
come
you go.
Even our friends at BBS.
As long as we got electricity and Wi-Fi, we're fine.
You got that right. And you know, Steve, I think that it's going to change the direction of the equestrian industry as a whole. You know, everybody's going to have to sit down and rethink what they're doing and how they're doing it in distribution of their products. You know, it's going to be awful, a rough patch here for the next 6 months, I think.
Exactly. I mean, even if racing begins again, who knows, you know, to what caliber and what will take place. Will people, you know, if the people are still training down their two-year-olds, are they going to be able to start or at least get baby races in June? Because usually right by the three-year-old stakes would have already begun at a lot of tracks, the sire stakes. So that's going to be on hold. And usually the Goshen weekend, that July 4th weekend, is when the stakes season really kicks off. And they've got the Grand Circuit in Goshen. They have a lot of two-year-old races, but all over the country, the tracks they're going to reopen. are going to want to have their two-year-olds going, and they'll have to be ready. But you can't when you don't know how long this virus is going to go.
Well, you know, Steve, the other thing I was thinking about earlier was how's it going to affect the breeding season for all breeds? You know, we're in the middle of right smack dab in the middle of the breeding season, and you know, shipping horses back and forth, you know, going from one state to the other. You know, wonder how that's going to affect everything.
We should probably call one of the big breeders up, but I think everybody still has to. Mares are going to fall. That's certainly not going to stop.
Right,
and
right.
then they're going to want to get bred back, and and they're going to. I think the breeding industry will be okay. I think they'll be able to. Of course, they have to maintain and have their foals, and then they're going to want to breed them back. That's not going to take a beating, nowhere near as much as the people that are racing. I mean, they need income. I mean, there are so many. We went over this a couple shows ago. In the state of New York, they realized that nearly 20,000 people are involved and employed direct and indirectly with the horse racing. I mean,
right.
20,000 people, that's a nice number. And that's just for one state. So now, if you're talking all the states that have harness racing, you're talking hundreds, over 100 thousands of people that are going to be directly affected. They are
right.
affected now. I mean, whether they can collect unemployment or not, it's a very sad situation. And it's not just North America, it's all over.
Right.
I mean, it's not as bad in places like Australia and New Zealand, and they've totally shut down. In other words, they are allowing anyone to fly out or fly in.
Right.
And horses can still travel, and they still have fanless racing, but it's just like that. And in Europe, the only tracks that have been open are in Sweden. All the other thoroughbred and harness tracks throughout Europe have closed.
Right. Well, you know, one of the things that I was thinking about earlier today, I was talking to some friends of mine in Keeneland about the sales. You know, they shut down all the sales worldwide, and it made it difficult. So we've developed a program called Last Call, and maybe this might be a good time to launch that program, because Last Call is a program that would be hosted by two announcers. They would sell horses eBay style via the internet and broadcast TV and so forth. And you don't even have to leave your farm. All you got to do is provide, you know, video information, you know, that type of thing. But of course, when you go to purchase a horse, you always want to go and have hands-on and vet it out. But I think this is going to be the new future of horse sales, because it would be concentrated just on your horses and nobody else, none of the other 2,500 horses. It would be just about your horses. And you know that you don't have to worry about the virus, because your farm is biologically secure. You know, so there's a lot of things
there
that
you can
be doing, you know, with it and all. So, you know, maybe we could do something on that. And then not to jump into at the wire, but I just got some news this morning that Javier Castellano, he's a jockey, and he would be riding in the Florida Derby on Saturday for Todd Pletcher on a horse called Candy Tycoon. And
right.
He had to take off of it because he tested positive for the virus this morning.
Oh, geez.
And so now...
So
you
there
know,
you go, a jockey,
yeah,
a top jockey.
Right. And now when you start to look at it, you think about it, you know, how many people over the last, you know, week or so was he in contact with going into the barn to, you know, riding horses, you know. He
yeah, riding at Gulfstream and
right, you know,
being in a jock room and all. I mean, they probably are taking precautions and stuff. But
right, right.
Obviously, he talked to the wrong person.
Right, okay. Steve, I think Patricia's calling in to check in with us.
Yeah, let's talk with her. Food.
Yeah. Patricia.
Hi, gentlemen. How are you doing today?
Good, good.
Hey.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
How are you preparing for Chuck Wagon?
Well, as we all know, we kind of had a little glitch in our life here. So, of course, as you know, everyone else is dealing with delays, we are too. But we are certainly working on getting some recipes together, working on little snippets of our first shows, get them posted, stuff like that.
Oh, great. What's our first recipe going to be? I'm getting hungry already.
Well, our first recipe is going to be the crockpot breakfast casserole.
Oh, good. Start the day off right.
Fast, easy, little cooking time. Now, I don't know. I haven't said this before, but our listeners don't know that yet, that I am the reluctant cook, truly. Don't like to cook. I'd rather be at the show, riding my horse, whatever. So any of these recipes that we're going to make are going to be simple, easy, and, you know, most importantly, tasty for everybody.
There you go. Well, you know, that's what we're
looking
for.
That's what we want.
You know, and especially out on the road, you know, you need to have things simple and easy, you know, to do. So, you know, we're looking forward to that. So maybe next week we'll find out how it tasted. Are you going to test it this weekend?
Absolutely.
Okay.
My family get to be the guinea pigs.
Well, we might have to talk to a few of them to see how they critique you on this.
Yeah. Well, there's really not a lot else to do when you're stuck in your house, right? And even if you're, I mean, I know a lot of people are just going ahead and self-isolating, you know, even if you're not sick, just to be responsible so that we can shorten the time span of this whole incident.
Right. Well, you know, you keep up with us on it and let us know what's going on. Prepare some good meals for us, good healthy meals, and we'll get with you every week.
Absolutely, we'll do.
Thank you. Got anything for us, Steve? Put your order in now.
Yeah. No.
You don't have any rested recipes, Steve? Except for the pork chops, right? Your wife makes?
Oh, yeah. I have to get that all written
down. You need
down
to get that submitted.
Yeah,
and
whether or not
I want to try that recipe. I have pork chops in the refrigerator right now.
Okay, I have to get a hold of my wife and find out about and get the pork chop baked bean recipe, and we'll give it to you and we'll cook it up.
And you know, I really hope that our listeners and viewers, you know, try some of these recipes. And even if you can't attend the horse event, like I heard you guys talking about the racetrack and everything, tune in and view it. As I understand, they're still showing the races. Some of them are still going on, correct?
Well, yeah, a bunch of thoroughbred tracks are still going and only one harness track.
Right. Right. So what are you going to do while you're watching the race thing? You're going to eat and drink.
Right.
There
exactly. Instead of three meals a day, it's more like five or six.
Right. Just tune in all day. That's the way that we can support the horse industry right now, is just tuning in to what is available, right? And making great food.
Yeah, there you go. All right.
Yeah, we need substitutes for chicken because it's hard to get chicken in the store anymore. The fast food places all have it, but you try and go get some regular chicken at any of the bigger grocery stores, and they don't have it.
Well, you know, Steve, one of the things that I was thinking about here, you know, with all the things that we're trying to do here at IEM, is to get everything, you know, in line. And you know, if you go to all the equestrian websites, whether it's harness racing or thoroughbreds or the show horse end of it, they usually have a virus update link. And, you know, you can click on that and they can update you. And that's really important. And believe you me, this thing is changing hour to hour, day to day. You know, and the horsemen really need to think about that. You know, I see about half of our volume of people that are here at Sunshine Meadows are no longer coming in, you know, to participate in the equestrian events. And, you know, a lot of them have told me it was difficult for them to find out, you know, about what was going on. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if they go to the link of the sport that they're in, you know, they're really good about posting that and updating it hourly.
Right.
Now, what about Harness Link? Are they updating things, you know?
Yeah, whatever's been coming in, we've been great to be able to have, you know, copy to put up there. But yeah, if you go to Harness Link, you'll see everything. You'll see about what tracks are running, what tracks are not. There's a couple stories about the Meadowlands and how they're looking to handle the people that have been indicted. I mean, that's a topic we haven't talked about, you know, since everything happened, because the coronavirus has taken over everything. But there are still issues there with those federal indictments. You know, do you let these horses race or not? There's still some things going on, and Harness Link has them.
Right. Well, you know, speaking of the indictments and everything, I noticed last week that they've added some more people to the list, and they're testing the horses, you know, to make sure that they're, you know, physically able, you know, to get back into the racing end of it, you know, and they said it'd be, you know, probably 90 days before they could really get back, you know, to where they need to be. And also, yeah, I think it's going to be an ongoing thing. And I do know that in the Southern District Courts in New York, I think it was, they postponed some of the arraignments on the people that were involved due to the virus.
Right. I don't know. I have no idea how fast the federal government will do in bringing, trying to bring these cases to trial. But well, let's put it this way. If the federal government and the FBI are involved and they've made and have these claims and have these wiretaps and stuff, it's going to be awful, awful difficult for everyone that's been involved, indicted, arrested and all. It's going to be difficult for them to ever touch a horse again.
Oh,
and,
well,
and that's what it needs.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I know quite a few of these people that we're talking about personally. And, you know, it's totally devastated them because they've been in the business all their life. They did what they did. And now, you know, they're just going to come to a halt. And, you know, I don't know what they're going to do or how they're going to do it. You know, but all the horses are being put out to other trainers. And, you know, we'll just have to see in 90 days, you know, what's going on.
If you go to ongate.com, which is probably the number one horse auction website, you'll see quite a number of horses trained by these people indicted being sold.
Right.
And some of them are being sold outright because they own them, or the trainer doesn't want to be involved with them, or they're selling to dissolve a partnership.
Right.
In other words, so-and-so owns 25% of the horse. Well,
right.
You're indicted. We don't want you on there. They argue about what the price is, and fine, we'll put it on Ongate. And that helps. I saw a horse sell the other day, a trotting mare. The owners or the owners that wanted to keep it, they were trying to get one person off that had 25%. But a top mare that's going to race this year brought $340,000 on ongate.com.
Yeah. Well, you know, wonder how that works if you're indicted and you own part of the horse and they sell the horse. I wonder how they divide that money up.
Well, at this point here, I think you're going to see a lot of the races that these guys participated in and had drugged their horses, they're going to demand that money back and redistribute it to the other people in the race.
Right.
Which is going to be difficult to get that money back, but it's I think that's what's going to happen. So but again, one of the only ways you really can dissolve a partnership and get someone out this way, if they're amenable to it, is to have an auction of the horse. And they just buy it back and pay, you know, a buyback fee.
Yeah.
In this case, I know ongate.com is a lot cheaper than the regular horse sales. But as this conversation began, what's going to happen? Will we, you know, I'm sure we'll be able to have the yearling sales and stuff. Eventually for this coming year, but if we're not racing, how are you going to have money to buy anything with?
Well, you know, that's true, and especially, you know, when you're going to the two-year-olds, because when you buy a two-year-old, even if you're a thoroughbred guy, what you're looking to do is buy that two-year-old in March and win a race by June with him, you know, to help offset
exactly.
that cost. And that's not going to happen this year, you know.
Right.
All these penhookers are in trouble because, you know, they get 30 or 40 two-year-olds and they bring them up to the sales. And,
exactly.
You know, at Gulfstream, and then all of a sudden now you got nowhere to go with them. So you got to decide, am I going to sell him privately or am I going to try to get him to the races? And if you try to get him to the races, when are they going to start racing?
No, you're right. You're right.
You know, it's going to
be... Now, tell me, we have another guest coming on now.
Oh, we got Rachel. She's a horseman, a horse person from Sunshine Meadows. She's a show horse person and a real estate agent. So maybe she can give us some insight on what's going on at Wellington. What's going on, Rachel? Good.
Oh, you know, just living the dream. He's just living the dream.
How's your horse doing out there at Sunshine Meadows? Are you keeping it in top shape?
Yeah, he's doing really well, and I'm thankful that Sunshine Meadows has a lot of nice open areas for us to keep our safe distancing here during the quarantine.
Yeah, now they've stopped showing at Wellington, correct?
Yeah, Wellington has stopped showing, I guess it was about 2 weeks ago, 10 days, somewhere to that effect, and there are no more sanctioned shows going on until further notice at this point. So everybody's just kind of here in limbo and hanging out and trying to figure out what to do from here.
Yeah. Now, how does that affect your training schedule for the shows that you were pointing for?
Well, we're just kind of on hold right now. I mostly show at the local level, so we're supposed to start our shows in April. But that's been tabled right now. We show up at Jim Brandon Equestrian Center, and as you know, all the parks are they're all closed, so we can't hold any of our competitions up there. So we're just, you know, we're going to continue training and trying to keep things as normal as possible. And you know, when everything's lifted and back to normal, we'll be ready to just jump right back in.
Oh, that's good. And Steve, what do you think about these show horse people? Have they got it down? Or she seems awful confident in everything, doesn't she?
She does, and that's a positive. That's you need to have that, because once things are allowed to start up again, you got to be ready.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's going to be so much going on there, and the more you can impress people and stuff early on, saying, hey, I've been practicing, I'm ready for this, it can, you know, be very beneficial financially.
Oh, you're exactly right. How are you on feed, Rachel? You get plenty of feed, hay, shavings, that type of thing? Have you seen
a
slowdown in it?
No, my trainer that I board with, she's pretty savvy in that department. I think she kind of saw some things coming and went ahead and ordered extra just in case there was any kind of lockdown. In fact, we had a big shipment of hay that came in earlier in the month, and we're all pretty locked and loaded when it comes to the feed department. So I think we're in pretty good shape there.
Did you get plenty of toilet paper?
That's another story.
Oh, no. Well, I've got another question for you here. And a lot of people don't realize about the horse industry, no matter what breed or discipline you're in. They travel a lot. Like a lot of our people here, one of the problems they're having is they usually leave this time of year to head back north, and a lot of them have homes in the north. But down here, some of them are finding a difficult time to leave their condo or their apartment they're renting. You know, they've got to buy extra months. With you being in the real estate business, how do you help people like that?
Well, you know, we've been in this particular situation realistically before the virus kind of came into effect. The South Florida real estate market really has been, I would say, red hot for the last 10 years or so. Rentals in general have been more and more difficult to find with the increase of different online companies such as VRBO, Airbnb, and they've kind of taken a big step and actually cut the middleman, which is a lot of real estate agents, out of it completely. You know, most consumers are able to just jump on their computer and search these different websites and find rental properties and deal directly with owners. And it really is, I mean, I you know, I hate to say it because I'm in the real estate business, but if you're looking for short-term rentals, that's usually the first place that I direct people to go. You know, when it comes to the longer-term rentals, I think a real estate agent is a better fit to help you find those properties because we kind of know, you know, where the properties are going to be located, especially if you're looking for something close to the showgrounds or what have you. So, you know, the rental market really is pretty tight even before this virus. So when you can find something, my advice is try to scoop it up as quickly as you can.
Right. Now, Steve, I know...
Angel, let me ask you, how about the regular real estate business? Is mm-hmm. it shut down for the buyers?
You know, it's very localized here in South Florida. Overall, I think it's still moving. We're still having reports of, you know, lots of sales that are happening. In fact, with my company, we get a weekly report that shows, you know, how many transactions are under contract and new properties hitting the market. And things are definitely still moving, but it's becoming more of a day-to-day kind of situation at this point. You know, I'm hearing reports of certain communities, gated communities, that are no longer allowing outsiders to come in and look at their homes, or certain condo buildings that are doing the same. They're not allowing outsiders because of the threat of, you know, somebody contaminating the building. But then on the flip side, when you see the market reports, you know, things are still moving. So it's really, it's tough to say exactly what's happening. You know, things are going to really start changing, I'd say, day by day, week by week. And all we can do is just kind of stay in the forefront and keep an eye on things.
Are shows all across North America being canceled? There's no events taking place, are there?
No.
No.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
No.
Steve, I got a question for you. One of your jobs at Pompano was helping all the horsemen and everything. Don't you wish you had a girl like Rachel that you could call up and say, Rachel, I got a trainer that needs a condo. I need a trainer that's got a needs a house. you know, that type of thing. Because and the whole point that we're trying to get across here today is the fact that the equestrian industry affects everybody, not just the horsemen, but people like Rachel, that it's not only a horseman, but a real estate agent, you know?
Right.
And that's what makes it very difficult.
There's so much, we could talk the rest of the show back and forth just on how many different things you are. I was very fortunate at Pompano Park because when trainers and people called up looking for places, we have Palm Air across the street, and oh my, I can't even think. Cypress Bend, were the two major, and they have 20,000 people between the two of them. So we always had availability. There was always a one or two, even three bedroom condos that were for rent. So that's not been a problem. The problem is inactivity. And people being, you know, filing for unemployment by the millions, and that's the big problem we face. And that the fact that our horses have to be cared for 7 days a week, and when there's no chance of competing, at all, I don't know how long owners can keep it up, and I don't know what the solution is. I mean, perhaps the best solution is for everyone to stay home in lockdown and hope this thing starts to die off so that we can start coming out again. And when we do be able to come out and meet with your friends and everything else, the precautions of social distancing will probably still want to remain in effect, because we've seen how awesome this disease is. In fact, weren't you telling me, Scott, about the jockey at Gulfstream?
Yeah. That was Javier Castellano, one of the top jockeys in the country. You know, had came up and tested positive for it. And, you just never can tell, who has it or who doesn't and all. And Rachel, one of the things I wanted to ask you about this, do you ever, when you have inquiries about properties, do they ask, what are the amenities around? Are we close to a racetrack? Are we close to, a casino? Or, just how do you go about that?
Breaking up pretty bad.
Yeah, you're breaking up there, Rachel.
Can you hear me?
You're breaking up pretty good there. Maybe we could try to reconnect, or maybe we'll have you on the show again maybe next week for an update on the show horses. Okay.
Steve,
a quick update.
Scott.
Yes. A quick update here.
No, I was just going to say, it's your turn now. You got to talk some thoroughbreds with us.
Yeah. Yeah, quick update here real quick. $1,456,000 went on at Gulfstream in the first race and everything. $946,972 for the second race at Gulfstream. So
they didn't play the daily double enough.
Yeah, they bet $2.3 million so far in the first two races at Gulfstream. And it's just unbelievable. And, one of the questions I wanted to ask you is how come the harness industry has not followed some of the thoroughbred models like Gulfstream and Santa Anita, and race without fans?
Well, the nearest racetrack, of course, is Pompano Park in South Florida.
Right.
South Florida is allowing the entertainment to go through. But because Pompano Park was going to close in May, and the casino is closed at this point, they're not going to have open up the racetrack for the rest of the season. They're just going to call it a season, and that's it.
Yeah.
That's why they're so forthcoming in helping these people with travel arrangements. They can stay in the dorm rooms and stuff while there's on there, because the rest of the place is total shut down. All the gates are locked. You can't drive into the casino or anything.
Yeah. Let me ask you this.
Other tracks will come back, but right now in Ohio, every casino, every racetrack is shut down until further notice.
Right.
So it's going to be governed by the states. Different states like California, letting Santa Anita and Cal Expo. In fact, Cal Expo wanted to change its race dates. It didn't want to go Friday and Saturday.
Okay.
They wanted to go on Tuesday, Wednesday.
Right.
The reasoning, I don't know. When you're the only thing in town and there's nothing, no place to go on Friday and Saturday, I'd still want to be racing.
Right.
Go ahead.
With Pompano closing, this was, are they going to extend it till next year? Can they come back? And like, say, for example, let's say the virus is over June, July, that type of thing. Could they open back up in like August or September?
Well, they were already talking about what they can do in the future. because by state mandate, Pompano Park must race 126 evening race cards.
Right.
Now, some can be doubleheaders, as long as there's eight pari-mutuel races. I don't know if they have enough horses when they come back to do 16 races, but they've done it in the past. But the states that are able to race are going to be, you know, are the ones that have not, you know, closed all the casinos and everything. In fact, right. I was a little surprised that both Cal Expo, Santa Anita, Gulfstream, of course, are able to be open. You know, I think it's a big bonus for them, as we can see by the track handle. Right. And it keeps the horsemen, you know, employed. But when you have a situation where one of the top jockeys in the world driving there, it's come up positive. I don't know. I would think at that point I'd have to say, sorry, folks, right. We can't race anymore.
Well, yeah, I think that Sunday, I believe, is the last day at Gulfstream and most all the other thoroughbred tracks, you know, that we're going to be shutting down. You know, but the main thing is, you know, like we talked with, you know, Rachel and Patricia Ann, it affects everybody, you know, and it doesn't matter whether you're in the food service industry or real estate or, you know, what
no,
have you.
No, it shows how far it reaches.
Right. And it's going to be awful difficult.
Do we have Rachel back on the line?
I don't know. We got Patricia. You're on the line, right?
Yes, I'm here.
No.
Okay.
No. Oh, Patricia's. Okay.
Yeah, Patricia's back on the line there and everything. So, Patricia, what's the prognosis for Chuck Wagon? Are you going to be doing anything along the lines of how to sanitize your RV and how to cook healthy?
Absolutely, 100%. We're going to have our listeners actually tune in or to our snippets and also listen in on how to, you know, clean, sanitize, be prepared, stock,
right. All
of that stuff.
Right.
For your RV, your kitchen, a lot of horse trailers have, you know, little living units. You know, we need to make
right. Sure
that we're safe in that way. And I know Rachel was talking about, you know, the local show here, which I attend. That's where my heart is, really. It's the, you know, sea level shows, we call them, or, you know, not WEF in that aspect, but just, you know, for regular people, regular folks right. Like us. And my daughter will be attending. It's the Palm Beach County Horsemen's Association. Supposed to be starting in April, and we're training, and we're still hoping. I'm actually going to be the one of the show secretaries at the show. So if you all, you know, in Wellington, come by to Jim Brandon. It's a small show, but we definitely need people to support, and, you know, maybe I'll bring one of my dishes.
Date? Do
right?
you have a date?
Crockpot breakfast casserole.
Yeah. When's the first show?
Well, tentatively, it's April 18th and 19th, I believe. But I just spoke with the last week the president, and she said, "Keep checking. We don't know."
Right.
Kind of depends on how this thing goes. So it's very tentative right now. But April 18th and 19th will be that week.
Once the word "go" is given, then you'll be set and ready to do something.
Yes, absolutely. We're training. We're continuing on as if this is going to happen. And if it doesn't, we still continue. And, you know, life goes on. We'll adjust. We do this for the love of horses, and that's why we're in it.
There you go. Hey, I got a question for both of you. Steve, we'll start with you. Are there any information sites that our listeners or people can go to that where they could either donate food, they could donate money, or volunteer their time to help out in the time of need to the horse industry? Do you know of any sites that are up there like that?
Probably the Standard Bred Breeders and Owners Association of New Jersey.
Okay.
They're the ones that are really affected.
Now, they had several people that have passed away that were involved with the harness industry in New Jersey and New York recently. And it was very sad, you know, that even one had to pass away. But it's my understanding that they had four in one family.
Boy, in the Fusco family, I remember racing at Freehold with the father, Vincent Fusco. It's a big family. The old man and his wife had 11 children. Oh. Two of them did very, very well in harness racing, and that was Carmine and Vincent Jr. But what happened was they had a family affair, and these two gentlemen had been at Yonkers Raceway in the race paddock and in the race office, where a gentleman by the name of John Brennan, who's the horseman's representative, had contracted the disease but did not get sick immediately. And he was then with numerous people, including the Fusco boys. They ended up going to this family party, and the next thing you know, there's seven of their family members in the hospital. And then all of a sudden, the sister, the oldest one is 55, but the oldest sister, she passed away. Both Vincent and Carmine passed away, and their mother passed away. And she was only in her early 70s, but it was all from the coronavirus. And there's still five members in the hospital.
Yeah. So they can get a hold of the New Jersey standard.
I'm opening getting to their website right now.
Okay. Yeah, that's one of the things that you know, is very important to us, you know, that we start getting, you know, people to help, in situations, you know, like that. You know, they can contact us here at IENTV.org, and, you know, we can kind of direct them in the right direction.
The website is for the Standard Bred Breeders and Owners Association of New Jersey is SBOANJ.com.
Okay. Yeah, that's very important, you know, that we do this because, you know, it's not only affecting the horse people, but all of Americans. And, you know, if we can direct them in the right direction, that's, you know, one of our goals here, you know, to do that.
Right, because they're helping with links to federal disaster loan assistance form. Governor Murphy in New Jersey approved the first wave of measures aimed to bring economic relief to the workers and businesses affected by the virus and the outbreak that's, you know, had to have racing stopped immediately. But you can go right on there to their website, and they've got all that information on it.
Well, maybe next week, Steve, we can get back with Rachel again, and she can kind of, you know, give us some information that we could give out to horsemen on, you know, about...
Absolutely, we didn't even get a chance today to talk about the race for the Triple Crown, how that's, you know, is that any news on the Derby moving to September 5th and that Pimlico and the Preakness people are going to abide by it and race afterwards?
Well, this is what happened, Steve. That their attorneys for Pimlico and Belmont and Ira Racing, they're getting together with the television industry and the media to select dates, you know, that are going to be coming up. Because, for example, NBC, you know, is a big carrier in horse racing, and Fox is a big carrier. And when all this, you know, comes back to, you know, live sports again, you're looking at crossing, you know, maybe the Derby with, you know, Alabama, you know, Florida football game. You know, there's a lot of things
you're
going to take into consideration, you know, and everything. But one good thing we know, you come here to BBS, you come here to IEM, it's not going to bother us because we're going to be here every day, my friend.
That's what I'm hoping for. And maybe we can even go live from the Wellington show, and Patricia Ann can feed us.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, let's do that. I would love that.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Well,
I'm definitely bringing my dish. I'm bringing some food, so you better show up.
Let's just hope April 18th. That's about four weeks away.
Right, right.
Well, fingers crossed.
There you go. There you go. Steve, Patricia, and Rachel, I think we had a good show today. We're growing slowly and everything, trying to be informative and everything. So thanks to our guys at BBS, we're really, you know, on our way and everything. So, Steve, we'll see you next
okay.
week. Patricia Ann, we'll
excellent.
See you next
thank
week.
You. Thank you, ladies. Thank you,
thank you,
Don.
Thank you, everybody.
Goodbye, gentlemen. Great show.
Goodbye.
Thanks.
Okay. Bye-bye.